Blog Talk Radio.
John Bon Jovial, and I want to welcome in our good friend, the David Bowers.
Thank you so much, John Bon Jovial. I hope we're not having a problem. I was having difficulty hearing you there, and that's not my opening monologue. I was having difficulty hearing you. I'm going to have to check and make sure that you're coming through all right. But we are so glad to have you with us, and we are especially glad to have our audience with us today. Welcome, audience. How y'all doing? Everybody ready to rock and roll some? We got a big, full show for you today, so we want to get right at it. And I want to first thank our house band, Titty Bingo, who provides our theme music and is also today going to be joining us with their brand new album, Live at Pernales. And they're going to be talking about that. Larry Fulcher, who is the bassist with Titty Bingo, is going to be joining us a little bit later. And we've got Robbie Boyd coming over from London, England. And our first guest, who will be with us in just a moment, is Mr. Sean C. Bryant, also from London, or the London area at least. And he'll be joining us with his new music as well. And, of course, this is the show where every show is an awards show. There's so many award shows out there now. What the heck? One more? Hey, let's make them all an award show. And it's simple. We don't have any nominating committees. You don't have to submit nominations or vote or anything. If you've got somebody that's done something incredibly great or incredibly stupid and you think they deserve some kind of an award, drop us a line to david@thedavidbowers.com. Put awards in the subject line and tell us who you think should get an award and why. And perhaps we'll use it on the show. And hey, who knows? We might even have a prize for you. We've got some special announcements coming up in the next couple of months about some exciting things happening. But we've got a pretty exciting show here today, so let's get going. The first thing we want to do is we want to award our first award of the day. So if I may have the envelope, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. I've always wanted to do that. Thank you. Now get that torn envelope out of here. Our first award today goes to our friends at Dimitri's Rail, the rockers out of Austin, Texas, whose latest CD, Back to You, is climbing up the top 40 charts nationally. They're appearing with Jumpsuit Apparatus tonight at the House of Blues in Houston. So if you're in the Houston area, don't miss that show. And check out their Dynamite CD, Back to You, by Dimitri's Rail. Now, as I said, they are climbing the national charts, and they're also involved in a couple of voting charts where you, the listener, can help out. So check their website at dimitrisrail.com and look for info on how you can vote in the national charting polls for Dimitri's Rail. Check out the music. I know you won't have any reluctance to vote for them, and they'd love to have you vote for them in these chart awards because it's really important to them that they know that you like their music and that you're behind them, okay? So congratulations to Dimitri's Rail, who gets the first David Bowers Award of the day. And remember, if you've got someone or something you think deserves an award, David@thedavidbowers, send me an email, and we'll go from there. John Bon Jovial, what's up? No, we are ready, John. No, we have a technical problem, John. You are not coming. Yes. You are not coming through. We are not hearing you, so I wanted to bring that to your attention. And we'll move on and try to figure out what's going on there, too. I'm going to try to bring Sean in right now because I know Sean Bryant is standing by. We're going to give you the first song off of Sean Bryant, or rather from Sean Bryant, Sean C. Bryant from London, England, and this is called Be Gone.
Not let the years get away. There are long nights, there are short nights, there are nights when I wanna scream. There are blue nights, there are true nights, there are nights when I wanna dream. Of all the nights we have in our lives, why can't they just go away? We need to be loved and we need to be liked, and not let the time strip away.
Okay, that was Sean C. Bryant and a song called Belong here on the David Bowers Awards. And this is John Bon Jovial just awaiting the return of David while he had to go run a quick errand, you know what I mean. Well, we're back in business today, and we had a little bit of technical difficulty at the start of the show, but I think we've hopefully got everything ironed out. David, are you there?
I certainly am. I think we had a little problem with the phone lines, the connection there somewhere, because we weren't hearing you, and I'm hearing you now, so you show up on the switchboard. It looks like everybody's here. Let's wait no longer. Let's bring in Sean C. Bryant. Sean, are you with us?
Well, I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Yes, we can. Welcome aboard.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great. How are things
great
in Merry Old England?
Great to have you with us, Sean. Ed, that's a great song that we just played. Really enjoyed that.
Glad you like it. It's one of the more rockier tracks I've created, so...
Yeah, and we figured it was a perfect way to start the show, something up-tempo, get us to rocking a little bit. And the first thing I want to do before we get any further, since this is an award show, we have to follow award show customs, and we have to walk you down the red carpet, and I have to ask you, what are you wearing? No, that's not right. I'm not asking you what you're wearing. What I need to know is, what's your award today, Sean?
Well, I've actually got three. Is that allowed?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, the first one, I'd like to thank Miley Cyrus for proving that Hannah Montana is officially dead. That was an absolute cracker on the VMAs. I mean, that was just a class act, wasn't it? I've got to admit.
Yeah, that was something. I mean, we all have to do something for attention.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what she did. She did basically a public lap dance.
Yeah. Basically.
Essentially, yep, absolutely. What else you got, John?
This one's a bit cheesy, but, you know, he's not my style of music or anything like that, but Sir Cliff Richard has just announced that he's going to release his 100th album.
Yes,
and
I read
any
that.
Artist,
yep.
That's a pretty big milestone, and I've got to admit, good luck to him. At his age, fantastic.
Yeah, he has hung in there for a lot of years. I remember listening to Cliff Richard back in the day with Elvis and all the others. And, like his music or not, God bless him, you got to give him credit for hanging in there.
Yep. And the third one is a personal one, a personal thank you to an organization called BASCA, BASCA, which is the British Academy of Songwriters, Composers and Authors. I've just become a member. And they're just a lovely bunch of people. They've made me feel like family and really enjoying that one. So thank you to BASCA for accepting me.
Well, congratulations to both you and them. You for becoming a member and them for having you as a member. It sounds like something really great for both of you, and we're really happy for you. Congratulations, Sean, and thank you for your awards today. Tell us first off, tell our listeners how they can find out more about you, website, things like that.
Well, you can find me on the website. We've just completely redesigned the website, and that's at www.seancbryant.com, which is SHAUNCBRYANT.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Sean. I want to welcome Catherine 80, who has joined us in the chat room. Welcome aboard, Catherine. Sean, you have a new record or new CD out, and we're going to be playing the title tune from that in just a little bit here. Tell us a little bit about Sean C. Bryant and his history, how you got to where you are today.
Okay. It's a bit of a weird one because I started in this business quite late. I was about 36 years old. Going through some big life changes at the time. Bought a guitar, and it just went from there, really. Started having guitar lessons, and my guitar teacher is now my producer. So we've put up a brilliant friendship, a brilliant relationship.
Well, that sounds like a true professional relationship, and it also sounds like a story very typical of the business. Many people have gotten going in this business in less than the usual ways. It's not the type of thing where you just go down to the office and fill out an application and you become a journeyman at something. There's a lot of unusual things going on. Speaking of unusual, John Bon Jovial, you have a question.
Are you accusing me of being unusual?
Would I do that?
Sean, I'm just curious as to what the influences are in your life that cause you to write the music that you do, and what or who, if you will, is your muse?
Oh, wow. I tend to be a storyteller. A lot of the stuff I've written is personal emotions, personal feelings, observations as well. There's a track, for example, called Where Is the Love on the album 3 AM in the Morning. And I heard some various stories from people about how people were being treated badly, and that was just when all the Afghanistan thing kicked off and all the troops went in. And I just thought to myself, where is the love on this planet right now? All we seem to be worried about is money, big TVs, and oil and war and everything else.
So true.
So that's kind of how I work. It's telling stories, whether they're my stories or somebody else's.
Now, do you look at it as though you're sitting around a campfire telling a story to somebody, or are you envisioning yourself in front of mass quantities of people, or is this truly a personal thing for you?
Yeah, it's very personal. It's very cathartic. I like to kind of either imagine myself either a campfire or Madison Square Garden, whichever. You know, it's any of those, any of the above.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, the fact that you answer it in that fashion, you know, at least it tells me that, you know, you're putting a lot of thought and a lot of love into the music, a lot of meaningfulness into the music, instead of having it just be something that's mass-produced trash. And I know the few cuts that I've heard off of your, from your CDs, it comes across that way. It comes across as, you know, being something that's very meaningful. And that's one of the things that we do try to feature here on the show.
Thank you. Well, I'll take that as a compliment. It was certainly
meant that way.
I like my music to mean something to people. If anybody can empathize with what I write, that's what it's all about for me.
Now, you mentioned when we first started talking that the track we just played, Belong, was a little bit on the rockish side. Tell the listeners about your style of music. I know they're going to hear the title tune from your newest CD here in a few minutes, but tell a little bit about your style of music and, we hate to categorize here. We love to cross the lines, go outside the edges and out of the box, but there has to be, everybody has to have a little bit of classification, you know, rock, pop, country, whatever. How do you classify your music?
It's definitely rock music. It's got its roots in rock music. A lot of my big influences are the 80s hair rock, like Bon Jovi and all that sort of side of things, Poison, Motley Crue. They were all my sort of big influences when I was younger. Plus things like Springsteen, Tom Petty, that very sort of like AOR rock kind of sound. And I've always strived to bring that into it somehow. But there's a little bit of a mixture in there. There's a bit of Brit rock in there. There's some Bowie-esque bits in there. My producer is a big Bowie fan. And we've put some very British-sounding bits in there as well. So it's a bit of a mixture, and I get some really nice compliments back from the fans about that as well. So I kind of like to mix it up.
Speaking of your fans now, are you touring over there at the time?
No. I'm very busy on the second album right now.
Do you have a tour planned in the near future?
We're hoping to do some dates next year. We're hoping to do some in 2014.
Are you going to try to tour at all in the States?
Oh, now you're talking. Yes, please. any promoters listening, let me know.
Well, actually, we do have, I know we have a few promoters who do track this show. Every now and then I get stacks of email wanting to know if I can get an artist on the show, and we do, in fact, listen to all the artists, believe it or not, as much of a task as it can be at times. We do listen to all the submissions. We appreciate, for those of you who might be listening and want to send us something, send us your EPK along with a current biography. That will give us a launching place, and if we can work something out in the future, we'd love to have you on the show. That's matter of fact, that's how we get some of our acts for the show. And Sean, I want you, if you would please, tell us about your current CD, the one from which we're going to be playing the title tune Goodbye Rose here very shortly, if you'd tell us about the album.
Yeah, we've kind of got two albums on the go at once at the moment, and Goodbye Rose is the second single off of the second album, and the second album's going to be called Midnight in Paris, whereas the first album was called 3 a.m. in the Morning. Now, it's I always manage to confuse DJs with that because we've got two albums going at the same time. So
that
my apologies
for
that. But yeah, Goodbye Rose is a lovely, lovely song. It's an absolutely wonderful song that my producer wrote probably 20, 25 years ago. And
really?
He's been looking for someone to actually put the vocals down for it for a long time. And he kind of, he played it to me and he said, "Do you want to do the vocals on it?" And it was like, "Well, yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful song. Wonderful, wonderful song. A beautiful ballad."
I think our listeners are really going to like it. And, Sean, if you would, one more time, tell the listeners how they can find you and find your music online.
Okay, no problem. You can find me at the website, which is www.seancbryant.com. And that's SeanCBryant.com. And I'm on all the usual social sites like Facebook, Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on SoundCloud, YouTube as well, if you want to see some of the videos. I'm everywhere, basically. So just put Sean C. Bryant into Google. I'm sure you'll find me.
All right. And I do want to emphasize, because it is a a question about the spelling. I want to make sure that people understand it's S-H-A-U-N-C. Bryant, Sean C. Bryant, and I want to thank you very much for joining us stateside here from lovely London, England today. Sean Bryant, it's been a pleasure to have you with us. We'll look forward to having you back again in the future, maybe after you get your next album.
Absolutely. Been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks for playing the tunes and thoroughly enjoying the show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much,
Sean. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you dropping by and sharing your music with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean C. Bryant and Goodbye Rose.
Goodbye Rose. Did I see you?
Nice melody, beautiful steel guitar in there. I mean, it's very reminiscent of some of the mellower country from the late 70s, early 80s. I think this guy's on a roll. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him.
I was thinking the same thing. I hear and sense crossover all over that song. I mean, it's something that the rock stations could play, the country stations could play. It's definitely got crossover up.
You know, it was like back in the day when we were on the air in Tampa Radio and we were playing crossover stuff. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
good old days. Sean C. Bryant, and thank you so much for being with us, Sean. Moving right along, we're supposed to have some... transitional music there. Where'd it go?
Here we go.
And a little transition from artist known as Jafefa. One of the days we're going to have to talk about Jafefa and maybe get him in here on the show. I think the listeners would like to hear his story, but we want to thank him for our transition.
I like putting that on my food, salt and Jafefa.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, moving right along now. We're going to bring on our next guest, who is also coincidentally coming from London, England. It wasn't planned this way. It just worked out, and we're glad it did because I've had the pleasure of talking to this gentleman in the past, and he is one really neat guy. He does some absolutely listenable music, and you're going to hear one of them right now, which I had the pleasure of playing on another show I did a year or two ago, and it is kind of an American salute in the, not so much in the sound, but in the type, in the theme of Woody Guthrie's Salute to America. This is Robbie Boyd, and the song is called O Alaska.
O Alaska, won't you give me shelter, take me under your wing. Oh, Alaska, I heard you're the last great place the earth has ever seen. Oh, Alaska, won't you take me somewhere I can go to get a change of pace. Oh, Alaska, paint me a picture of your beautiful embrace. Dreaming of home, can you see it? I've been here for too long, can you feel it? I'm moving home to the last frontier. Well, if you gotta move on, let me hear it. You got to be strong to achieve it. We'll do it our way on the last frontier. Alaska, I'll look north to the future, that's how I want to live my life. Oh, Alaska, be mine, Mother Nature, I can't wait to see your northern light. Oh, Alaska, come a little closer, I have nearly reached your silver shore. Like the others, you can show me what I'm looking for. Dreaming of home, can you see it? I've been here for too long, can you feel it? I'm moving home to the last frontier.
gotta move on, let me hear it. You got to be strong to achieve it. We'll do it our way on the last
situations we face here doing this show is the switchboard shows us phone numbers, and if we don't know the phone number of the person that's calling in, for example, our guest Robbie Boyd, because he wasn't sure which phone he'd be using, we don't really have a way of knowing who it is until we actually answer the phone. I have two unidentified phone calls right now, so we're going to have to go ahead and trial and error, I guess. So if you're on the other line, if you're not Robbie Boyd, please be patient with us because we need to get Robbie on the show. He's calling from London, England. So here we go. Let's find out if, in fact, we have Robbie Boyd on this line. Hello there. And we have nobody on that line. So let's hope that wasn't Robbie Boyd and that perhaps this is Robbie. Hello?
Hello.
Is this Robbie?
Yes.
Robbie, welcome aboard. Right. I'm not sure.
Thank
who
you
was
very much. I'm sorry
line,
I didn't give you the number.
No, that's quite all right. We understand. We just have to, you know, it adds a little air of authenticity and some spontaneity to the show.
Also, it adds a bit of excitement when you don't know the number.
Absolutely.
A fun game.
Exactly. You don't know who you're going to get or what they're going to say.
lucky dip.
Right. Robbie, I want you to meet my co-host, John Bon Jovial.
Hello, Robbie, John Bon Jovial.
Well, hello there, Robbie. It is a pleasure to have you along with us today.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, very impressed with your song, Alaska. That was just very nice melody. Very nice indeed.
Thank you.
And we are so happy to have you with us. First question we're going to ask you, though, is what is your award today?
My award is the Isle of Wight. That's where I am now. Shooting my next music video, and I've come down here, and I just think it's a beautiful place, and so that's my award.
I envy you. I have seen pictures. Unfortunately, I've never had the chance to visit it, and I know you did mention to me that was a possibility we might have difficulty connecting because you would be shooting today. I can't wait to see that video. I know you you have whoever is your imagination crew does an excellent job. For folks who haven't seen your videos, there's a bunch of them on YouTube that you can see.
Mm-hmm.
And he has some really, really good videos, not only well-produced, but well-thought-out. One that particularly stands in my mind is also one of your songs that I absolutely love, and that's called I Want You to Stay, which has a wonderfully cute storyline to it. So believe me, folks, it's worth it. Go check him out. As I recommend with all of our guests, go check them out, especially if they have videos available. And Robbie Boyd does on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And that one is my personal favorite, I Want You to Stay.
Awesome.
And we do. We want you to stay here with us and talk with us. Tell us what else you're doing now. I know you're doing new music videos. You have a new album out. We're going to be playing a track from it.
Yeah, it's exciting time. So we've just we released the latest EP called Painted Sky a couple of months ago now, or last month. And, O Alaska was on it, and I Want You to Stay, which you were just talking about, is also on it. And that was our third EP. So we've got three EPs out on iTunes now. And I've recently just recorded this new, my new single, which is called Under My Skin. And we recorded it in a place in London where it's David Gray's studio. And Bob Dylan used to record there, Radiohead, the Eurythmics, and that was really, really exciting to record there. And now I'm on the Isle of Wight making a music video for it.
Fantastic. It sounds like you're keeping busy too. Now, are you doing any touring during all of this?
Yeah, I am actually. It's very, very exciting and busy time. So I just got back from Germany this week. And in a week or two, I actually come out to America, which you know, and I'm very excited about. And I'm starting in Nashville, and then going to New York afterwards. That's going to be absolutely incredible. And then I get back to England and do a tour with my band. Around the UK, so that's for 2 weeks, basically.
I would like to say thank you for that. I'm glad you mentioned the fact you were going to be over here in the States, but I'm not, because you took away my next question. I can't ask, are you ever coming to the States? But no,
I'm
I know we've
about,
talked
sorry,
about.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's all right. We've talked before about you coming over to the States, and you're working on the possibility of putting together some kind of a tour for next year. I'm glad that you're going to at least get to come over here and do some contacting and whatever other business you have.
Yeah, exactly. This trip is more just to meet people in Nashville, meet some contacts, and in New York as well. Just meet people, and then hopefully organize some proper music tours next year, basically, which is really exciting.
Sure hope that you'll be coming down to the southeastern United States, down into Florida. It'd be wonderful to see you.
Florida, I'll definitely try and try my best, but it is a humongous place, and I can't wait to get into every corner, every nook and cranny. So hopefully I'll be able to see you guys as soon as possible.
Oh, we look forward to that. Now, New York is a world of its own, but are you going to have time to see some of Nashville while you're there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm there for about 10 days.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully I will. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you recommend me anywhere good? Oh, there's some wonderful places in Nashville. But what you have to do is you've got to see some of the historic places, like the Ryman Auditorium, the old original Ryman Auditorium. And
yeah.
I know I had a chance back in my radio days. As a matter of fact, John, it was the year before I met you that I went to Nashville. And I actually had the chance to sneak up on the stage at the Ryman Auditorium. I guess the statute of limitations must have run out now. They won't arrest me for this. But I got into the Ryman one day. The door was open. And my associate that was with me and I went in, and I just couldn't resist the temptation to stand on that stage for a moment by myself, just to have that feeling. And there's so much history there. And, of course, the other places, there's the Hall of Fame and Museum and a lot of the record companies. Nashville is a wonderful town. That's why I wanted to wish you a chance to get to see some of it. And, yeah, I'll be happy to put you in contact with some people in Nashville while you're there.
And, there's another thing, too, also, Robbie, that you should look into. If you appreciate, good, American music, you've got to check out Ernest Tubb's Record Shop while you're there.
Ernest Tubb's.
That is an absolute must-do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not very far from the Ryman, right in old downtown Nashville.
It's right across the street. Yeah, and it's amazing. It's a true record shop. I mean, it's a record shop, and and they don't pay us to advertise, though I wish they did. but it is a record collector's dream.
Nice.
I'll put it
I'm
to you
getting
that way.
Very excited.
And for the younger generation that are listening and don't know, records preceded
Well, actually, they preceded 8-tracks, which preceded cassettes, which preceded CDs, which preceded digital music. Yeah, that's your history lesson for the day, and that's the closest to a rock star class I'm going to hold. I get the professionals to come in and do that. Robbie, one of the things that I've noticed a lot of times when talking with artists is their band doesn't get as much notice as they should. Tell us about your band.
Definitely, yeah. Just lovely, lovely bunch of musicians, very, very talented. There's a lot of them. There is a lot of them. So we have drums, bass, electric guitar, piano, mandolin, saxophone, violin, percussion, and lots of backing singers. And it's all very exciting playing with them. I much prefer playing with the band than when I used to on my own. So yeah.
I imagine it probably helps give you a little more life to inject into your live appearances too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Personal question. I was curious in the in my favorite video of yours, the I Want You Back. Those two wonderful kids in there, were they cast or does someone you know or were they?
It was a sort of stab in the dark. You know, it was a trial sort of thing. We did try them out first, but you know, they came to us sort of by chance, basically, great chance. But and we did try them out, but they were brilliant. The first time we got them together, it was just so great together.
They're so beautiful. They're angelic looking kids. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't have found two people better suited.
I'm a big believer in fate and coincidence and all those things, and I think it really just, I love how it pulled together for us, and you know, the right people were at the right time and the right place. And
That's what I was saying. Whoever's putting your productions together is doing a wonderful job. The boys' facial expressions and the look on that girl's face is absolutely electrifying. There's no spoiler alert because I'm not going to give away the punchline to it. But one other question I wanted to ask: the other people that were in the panel, were they members of your band?
No, they're not actually. They're all really great actors. One of them is just being cast as the lead in Outlander.
Oh, really?
I know that's a really big show out there. He's called Sam Heughan, and he's one of the judging panel. And then the other two are really, really great big actors over here as well. So,
fantastic.
Yeah.
And now you are, as we discussed, you're looking into possibly doing a tour here next year. I know you talked about the possibility you'd like to include South by Southwest in Austin as part of that tour. Have you been able to make any contacts in that direction yet?
I hope that the Nashville and New York trip will be able to do that. That's really what I'm aiming for, to make those contacts. And I would just so love to come. Obviously, ideally with my band as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So that's definitely a lifelong dream. I just want to travel on the open road around the whole of America so much. It's every English person's dream to do that, whether you're a musician or not. And, you know, getting to combine my love of traveling and meeting new people with, you know, playing my music to as many new people as possible is definitely a dream for me. So yeah,
absolutely, and we look forward to it. I think America will embrace you tremendously because your music is just so down to earth and listenable and joyful. It's just full of happiness and joy. We've got a lot of action in the chat room today, and we had one person who wanted me to specifically wish you well and say hello. Alba Buonaparte from Italy wanted to be remembered to you, and we have listeners from all over. We got a bunch from Germany in there today too.
Hey, wow.
John Bon Jovial has another question. Yeah, Robbie, I just wanted to backtrack a little bit. Your song, Alaska, you know, I was listening to it and just very taken with it because actually I used to live in Alaska, and I'm just wondering what your inspiration was for that song.
I mean, it was a lot of different inspirations. The main reason why I wrote it was for Tim Rice. You know Tim Rice? Sir Tim Rice?
Yes. Yes. Well, not personally, but I know of him.
He was doing a Radio 2, BBC Radio 2 program on the music of the States of America. And he said in one of his programs, any songwriters who want to write a song about Alaska, please do and send it in to me because there's not much music from Alaska. So I wrote it actually while I was in the Isle of Wight about 4 years ago. And just I wrote it as a sort of nostalgic piece, you know, a bit about love, a bit about my desire to travel and all of that. And it just came out of me in about 20 minutes, just like a flash of lightning. And I recorded it on my own and tracked down his producer and then gave it to her. And Tim Rice called my mobile about 3 months later and said, hello, this is Tim Rice. I'm going to play your song on BBC Radio 2. And that was my first sort of big break. So it's definitely means a lot to me, that song.
Well,
and
I'm not
it would
saying
mean
this to,
even
you know,
more
make,
to me to actually go to Alaska.
Sure, I'm not saying this to make social nice with you, but it really is. I mean, having lived in the state and knowing several people that have been up to Alaska or even the Yukon Territory in Canada, the feel of the song, you really kind of nailed it. I mean, I was very impressed with it.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much. I didn't even really know that much of music from America at that time because it was right at the beginning of my sort of, you know, journey or career as a songwriter. And, you know, I've always been a big fan of people like John Mayer. He's always been a big inspiration of mine. So maybe that was a nice influence. And that's great to hear that it is a good fit, and I hope
that
people of Alaska get to hear it sooner.
Maybe the lack of personal experience allowed you to face it with no bias and just be open and let something come out and happen, which whatever it was, it worked, and that I've loved that song ever since the first time you played it for me a couple of years ago. Speaking of songs, tell us about this next song that we're going to play off from your latest CD, Before It All Falls Apart.
Before It Falls Apart is just, you know, it was a really exciting song for me. It was one of the newest songs, and we were on tour in Argentina last November, and that was just, you know, really, really exciting time. In my life and with the band as well, and I don't know. Again, it just that song just sort of came from nowhere very quickly, and you know, it's I guess more about my independence and my songwriting, and just maybe more of an observation about life. I think when I started writing songs, I tried, you know, when anyone starts writing songs, you want to sort of talk about the meaning of life and all of that, but it comes out quite cheesy or whatever, you know. So I gave that a rest for quite a long time, and then somehow those lyrics came to me, and it was more of a sort of observation about what I've experienced and about life, rather than maybe sort of, you know, preaching or anything like that. About what people should do. So it's quite a fun, upbeat song, and
Well, fantastic, and we're going to listen to your side of life here in just a second. First, I want to thank you for taking the time, especially in the middle of your lovely day evening now in the Isle of Wight, doing your video over there. Thank you so much. Can't wait to see the new videos. Please keep us in touch with those, and definitely get you back on the show if you make it over to the States for a tour. We definitely want to be a part of that too. It's a pleasure talking to you, Ravi.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ravi Boyd, and this is Before It All Falls Apart.
Thank you, guys. See you soon.
Sometimes I need a place to hide away, even though it may seem like a holiday. Everyone told me they believed I could, and I don't know where to go but Hollywood. Well, I can see the moon, but I can't see the stars. And I just want it all before it falls apart. I just want it all before it falls apart. Through the garden of my past I go, where the wallflowers can dare to grow, and the wild ones speak of giving earth. Of the shadows cast by me of old, I tread lightly lest they make me cold, for my body
to any potential sponsor out there. You know, the David Bowers Awards has been growing by leaps and bounds every single month, and we're crossing international borders now. And if you want to be a part of this exciting action that we've got going on here at the David Bowers Awards, all you got to do is contact us about sponsor information at david@thedavidbowers.com. That's david@thedavidbowers.com. So much for that crass point of commercialism on my part. I just want to let you know now that coming up, we've got our Rockstar 101 segment with Nine North Records president Larry Parrigas. But first, we do have a special surprise, another You Heard It First on the David Bowers Award. So, David, go ahead, take it away.
Well,
thank you very much, you crass person. You.
That's right. Crass is my middle name.
We have a sneak preview of a new release from a young lady from San Francisco who bills herself as the Muse of San Francisco, A.E.D., and she has a an album of children's songs coming out the end of this month called What Dreams Are Made Of, and it is up for Grammy consideration as a best children's album. It's a brilliantly inventive work combining narration, story, colorful offbeat characters, and interesting concepts with music intended for young adult audiences. What Are Dreams Made Of finds A.E.D. exploring realms of darkness and light in the wake of a bad dream. And believe me, the music is not a bad dream, and the album is not going to scare anyone. This is a musical story, so the track is not a standalone, but it's intended to be part of the sequence of the story. But in this track, the character Aislinn, a small blue fairy, and A.E.D., the Muse of Song, are talking about A.E.D.'s bad dream or Nixmare, and A.E.D. sings her siren song.
Wow, dreams are made here. Kind of takes the magic out.
I prefer to think of us as dream magicians, putting the magic into your dreams. What seems to be your dream?
Well, that's just it. My dreams, or your dreams, appear to be missing, and in their place is a never-ending Nixmare, playing in my mind over and over like a broken record. And what's more, I think my Nixmare is somehow related to real occurrences happening in the town. So you see, I am in the wrong place, aren't I? I should be talking to Morpheus and Phobator and his bad seeds, as you called them.
Well, first, before you write us all off here in Overland, or second-guess the dream gods, can you describe your Nixmare?
It's the dark path I'm walking on. I can hear this wailing.
A.E.D., Dream Magician Siren Song, and you can watch for that. It's coming out the end of this month, and if you have any trouble locating A.E.D. online, you can also drop me a line at david@thedavidbowers.com, and I'll be happy to send you the link so that you can check out the entire album and purchase it, too, if you want. She's an amazing person. She does some really amazing things. We've got Titty Bingo still to come. We've got 5 minutes of fame still to come with a band from Milan, Italy. And we've also got Rockstar 101 today featuring our class master, the president of Nine North Records in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA, Mr. Larry Perigas. Welcome aboard, Larry.
How are you, young man?
Doing just fine, Larry. And you?
I'm doing great. You know, I was actually listening to John Bon Jovial's pitch earlier, and all I have to say is, you know, he could probably find a place on my staff, because if you don't ask, you don't get, you know?
You got that right.
I liked his direct approach. Good for him.
Hey, you listen, you know what? You ain't going to get it if you don't ask for it.
That's exactly right. This is what I've learned.
Well, Larry, I know you're in the middle of watching football with your mom, so we don't want to tear you away from that too long. We appreciate you taking the time to join us today. What have you got for us on Rockstar 101?
Well, you know, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier in the month, and I sure don't want to sound like, you know, Walt Kowalski from, you know, Gran Torino, but I'm going to, you know, do my best, you know, without being the "hey kids, get off my lawn" guy. I've just had a spate of people who've come into the office lately to meet and talk about their careers who seem to know everything before even walking in. And if that's the case, and you already know everything, what do you got to visit me for? The truth is that there are a lot of people out there who do need guidance, and there are people out there who have put in their 10,000 hours or more in their particular regimen, and there is a lot to learn from individuals like that, primarily the potholes to avoid. What I like to say to the people I work with is that there are 10,000 different ways to mess things up. So trust me on the first 10,000, and I will trust that you will invent the 10,001st, and that we will deal with it when that happens. But up to that point, listen to me about the other 10. And I think that that's a real issue right now, people seeming to know that or think that they know everything. And I'm telling you right now, walking in the door, they just don't.
I believe that is true. I've run into a few of those in the radio business too, and you're absolutely right, Larry. What's your advice for people who find themselves in that position?
Well, look, I think that you know, my father always said and said it best, and obviously this is a little different because I'm sort of in the position of teacher as you've described it, which is very kind. But you know, we were given 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. We should listen twice as much or twice more than we speak. And I think that that's the direct approach to take. There are a lot of things to learn from people with, you know, not gray hair all the way up through some gray hair to, you know, some gray hair and balding, which would include me. Okay, and everybody's
like
got something fascinating to offer. If you just keep your ears open, you're going to learn something. I learn something new from somebody every day, and I'm old enough to know that I don't know everything.
The important thing is that we're smart enough to know that we don't know everything.
Yeah, and you know what? To be fair, part of that comes with youth. I mean, I remember when I was a young guy, I could be pretty darn arrogant.
Oh, yes.
And there were times when people were trying to teach me lessons, and I simply refused to listen. I had to go and learn them on my own. And I know a lot of people have to do the same thing. I get it. But there are obvious career ideas and directions and trajectories that you can set yourself out on that will end up being kind of ultimately detrimental to you if you're not careful. And there's a big difference between that kind of knowing of being an innate artist from the very beginning and being sort of part of an unformed lump of clay that requires a little bit of work. I have walked into very few people I've ever met who have walked up to me and said they're artists, and they're by God artists from the moment I meet them. There just aren't that many. There are a lot of acts. There are a lot of entertainers. There are a lot of singers. There are a lot of songwriters. But there are very few people who present themselves as the complete package walking in the door that actually are. And that's
that.
The way it's always been and the way it's always going to be.
And as you get older and time goes on, you start to learn more and you start to realize, you know, maybe my mom and dad or, you know, maybe that guy Larry, you know, maybe he had something because they start to realize that you're right. When we were all young, we're all full of, you know, piss and vinegar and thinking that
yeah.
we're going to set the world on fire. And maybe we will. And if we do, more power to us. But you got to get guidance from somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And at a certain point, you know, with a lot of people, that piss and vinegar and passion gets them exactly so far. And then at that point, they need some real guidance around them to take all of that energy and channel it in the proper direction to help take it somewhere. You know, not coincidentally, by the way, a lot of the folks who come in the door knowing everything are also the same people who end up feeling that they know best later on down the road. And they're also the ones that don't usually keep people around them who were with them from the start. And that's a very key component to a continuing healthy career, is to always have two or three people in your corner who are with you from the very beginning, who can take you quietly to the side so as not to, you know, show you out in front of a group of people, but just say, hey, as a friend who's known you forever, I really think you're going haywire here, and here's why.
Excellent point. As a matter of fact, you just answered what was going to be my very next question. I was going to ask you, Larry, if you had to sum up into a sentence or two a kernel of advice that you would offer to each aspiring artist, and I think you just did that in a nutshell. That was very well put. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, be wise enough to keep smarter people than you that have been with you from the beginning close. Do not push them away. That'll end up hurting you in the long run.
Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Perigis, the president and owner of Nine North Records in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. Larry, as always, we thank you for joining us with your pearls of wisdom, and we invite our listeners, if you have questions about the business, here's your chance for a little free advice. Drop me a line, david@thedavidbowers.com. Put Larry in the subject line and ask your questions. I'll make sure Larry gets it, and we'll get you an answer to your questions about aspiring to the music business career. Larry, thank you again so much, and thank your mom for sharing you with us today.
I will, and again, David, thank you so much for having me on, and you know, now I'm looking forward to playing some titty bingo, so let me know, you know, how it all
in
works.
In just about 5 minutes, we've got one more thing to do, and then we're going to be talking with Larry Fulcher and playing some titty bingo.
Outstanding.
All right.
Now,
thank
that's what
again.
I call a
thank
sports
you,
Sunday.
Absolutely. Thank you, Larry. Thank you so much. We'll be talking to you again real soon.
All right, gents. Take care.
You too. Thank
take care,
you.
Larry.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Larry Perigis, the president and owner of Nine North Records, and he shares some of his artists with us. We'll be having one or two more of his artists coming on to visit on the show in the very near future, and we'll tell you about that as time goes by. Right now, it is time for us to get to Rockstar 101. Oh, no, we just did Rockstar 101. Hold up the right cue cards there. Good grief, I'm nothing without my teleprompter. It's time for 5 minutes of fame, where we present a new artist who hasn't received major airplay yet, and we share their music with you. You get to hear some of tomorrow's talents before they become stars. Today, we're featuring some talented rockers from Milan, Italy, that go by the name of Rev Angel. And we see in the chat room a bunch of Rev Angel fans. I think they just brought half of Italy with us to the show. Welcome aboard, all you Rev Angel fans. The spark that gave this group life happened 3 years ago, through an encounter between a guitarist and multi-musician, Evan, and lyricist vocalist, Enny, who is also the songwriter, and they refer to him as the soul of the group. They met musically through the U2 tribute band Rejoice, and followed their different paths until their encounter inspired a partnership in the name of friendship and the love of music, and closed a circle between two generations and two stories that come together where streets have no name. Rev Angel was officially born with the launch of their website and Facebook page on 11-11-11. Sounds like it. We should go buy a lottery ticket there. During the first few months of their life as a group, they composed many songs, released their first self-produced album in July of last year, A Small Galaxy with Only Four Planets, Lapsus, a sign of their desire to tell their stories through music instinctively as if by destiny. Why do I keep seeing the Big Bang Theory? The four songs on their Lapsus EP were chosen from among 20 composed pieces, gaining great reviews from critics and growing public interest. It's available to download from the band's website or in CD format.
Bazinga.
That's why I'm getting the Big Bang Theory. I knew that was coming. Ladies and gentlemen, on our 5 minutes of fame today, from Milan, Italy,
Rev Angel.
Hi, we are Rev Angel, and what a surprise, we are from Italy, Milan. So this is our first single, part of it. We hope you like it. Enjoy and keep rocking. Ciao.
Never
from Milan, Italy, Rev Angel. And thank you very much, gentlemen. I only saw male names. I guess there could be some females in the group. I should be more careful about things like that. I'll get myself in trouble. Anyway,
you should be more gender sensitive, David. Reach out and grab the feminine side of yourself.
Wait a minute. That came out wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the late John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, right.
Rev Angel on 5 Minutes of Fame. And if you like them, would like to hear more of them, you know what to do. David@thedavidbowers.com or post up, better yet, post up on our Facebook page, The David Bowers. And tell us you want to hear Rev Angel, and we'll get them back on the show. I know they've got a ton of their followers in the chat room today, and we are so happy to have you all from Italy and Germany there. Also, welcome aboard Thysia and Katie and Sean Bryant sitting in there listening. Sean, thank you for sticking around and listening to the show. We've got to move right along to our next guest now because it is time for us to play Titty Bingo. But, wait a minute, we do have something. Rev Angel had something else they wanted to say. What's that?
Hi, this is Rev Angel from Milan, Italy, listening to the David Bowers on Blog Talk Radio. Keep rocking with Uncle Dave.
You guys know how to score points. Great going. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Rev Angel. And
great band.
Here is another great band from the great country of Texas. Here comes the rain. This is Titty Bingo.
She got a wind.
bingo, and here comes the rain, and actually we should be saying, here comes Larry Fulcher. Larry, are you with us?
Hey, David, I'm here. How are you doing?
Just fine, Larry, and how are you today?
So far so good, man. I'm kind of like Larry Perigas. I'm going back and forth between football games.
I know the feeling. Yeah, that's one of the advantages or disadvantages of our show. Of course, by playing more music, we get to sneak out and catch a peek of a game every now and then, too. And in our case, it's baseball because John Bon Jovial is from Massachusetts, so I guess you know where his misguided allegiance lies. And I've been a Yankee fan since I was old enough to know how to do it, so we're having a ball. Well, he's having a ball. The Yankees aren't doing too well against them, although they're ahead today. But we're so glad to have you join us in what has turned out to be an exciting year for you and for the band.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. I mean, you know, I was listening to Larry Perigas talk and sitting here realizing what a blessing it is to be able to do the thing that you love and make a living at it. So, you know, every day is exciting. Every day that you get up to do something that you love, it makes life exciting.
Oh, that's it. And you guys love the business, and that shows in your music and the feel you put across. And we've talked about that with so many of the artists that we talk to. You don't get into it for the money. You get into it because you love the music business and the music itself. And that's a theme that is consistent with all the artists that have lasted all these years that still go strong year after year. We were talking with the Oak Ridge Boys. And you talk about a group that's lasted forever. I mean, they've been 40 years in their current configuration, and the group actually started back in the 40s. So if you love what you're doing, you not only never work a day in your life, but you're gonna last because it just comes through. And you guys obviously do love what you're doing.
I love the music. I can't always sign off on loving the business.
I know what you mean there.
But you've been
doing a lot of business this year. You've, according to my notes here, let's see, you've been on tour with Taj Mahal, including Australia and New Zealand. You've also been in the studio, of course, with Titty Bingo, and we're going to hear another track from you in just a few minutes here. Let's see, you were in the studio with Taj Mahal, and you were a producer for Houston's 2013 Best Female Vocalist, Anika Chambers, right?
Yes, and that has been a blast. That has been one of the hugest, if hugest is a word, blessings.
It is now.
down
you heard
the
it here,
in a,
folks.
In a long time. I was asked to be a judge in the, the National Blues Singers Contest, and we heard this young lady sing, and it was like, wow. I mean, there's not only blues, there's just a musical being. So, we started out to produce a demo on her, and as it got going, it turned into a full-fledged album. So that's, I feel real fortunate and real blessed to have made that connection.
Well, maybe you can give her our email, and we can get her invited to the show here.
She'd love that.
Oh, we'd love to have her. We're always looking for great new talent. And as you know, we specialize in the indie talent because they have for ages not gotten the exposure that they deserve because there's a lot of great indie talent out there, but it seems as though the ones that you hear about all the time are the ones that are signed to these multimillion-dollar contracts and have all this money behind them, and that's not really how the business works, or at least how the music is supposed to work. You play bass and do vocals on the new album, which is live at Pedernales. Is it Pedernales?
Well, Texans, we have to do everything the Texas way. It's
Absolutely. Spelled
Pedernales, but in Texas we pronounce it Pedernales.
Pertinalis, okay. Well, then we'll start talking like Texans here. It's Pertinalis, okay. You also went into the studio with, and we've had this gentleman on the show. We've been fortunate enough to talk to him, the renowned producer Rob Fraboni, who's worked with Dylan. He's worked with the band, the Stones, the Beach Boys, and, a few other acts nobody's ever heard of. But I'm told that the recording focuses on, of course, the band sound and the minimal production, but this all goes with what Rob was telling us about the about his production, his sound concept, doesn't it?
Yeah, Rob, you know, he's a sound freak, but he's come up with a process that, you know, we've evolved or devolved, whatever, whichever way you want to pronounce it, into this digital music, you know, stage or phase of life. And while it's very convenient, it's very fast, it's very user-friendly, there's some sound quality loss. You know, records just sound warmer and fatter, and you know, the sound wraps you up, and you feel like you're laying inside of a big warm blanket. Sometimes that's lost in digital recording. You know,
right? There's been a lot of talk about that lately, and the fact, as a matter of fact, a lot of the record companies are going back to producing plastic records now.
We've been doing that with Taj. We put out CDs, but we also put out a wax record. And it's funny, at the shows, a lot of the time, people will buy the wax over the CD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not surprised because, if you're to a true audiophile, there is definitely a difference. And as you say, it's kind of a fuller, warmer, to me, I describe it as a little more real sound.
Well, the whole thing about digital is it's too clean.
Exactly.
It's as weird as this is going to sound. It's too pure. And Dave is right. You don't have that warmth and that feeling that you get from a good analog recording.
Now I know
no,
I had
you,
the
you
privilege.
Just, you just don't.
I had the privilege of talking with Rob about this, I don't know, it was about a year ago, I guess it was. But tell us from your perspective, tell us about this sound process that he's conceived.
Rob, he could explain it to you in technical terms. But I guess the most layman-friendly explanation I can think of is, you know, digital is numbers, and there's gaps between the numbers. You know, there's a gap between 9.9 and 10, if that makes sense. With
right.
Rob's process, you fill in that space. You know, so it's a continuous enveloping sound. And, you hear it, when you hear it and you're in the room with it, you feel it. I mean, it actually, there's a physical reaction that your body has. That's missing in digital.
And I've listened to the music. I've been fortunate enough to actually have the CDs from you, and I know you can tell even on the CDs. And I haven't had the chance to listen to the plastic versions, but as a matter of fact, I'm not even sure where my record player is, but you can hear the difference in Rob's sound on the CDs. Even you can feel it.
Yeah, it's warmer. It's more full.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your body reacts differently to it. And we did some A and B-ing, you know, between CDs with and without, you know, Rob's process, and there is there's a difference. There's a physical difference in the sound.
Yeah, that's where you would really notice it, being able to put one sound side by side with the other sound, and you would definitely see the difference there. And this, the amazing thing to me, with all the talk, and you hear artists talk about, oh, I've labored on this album for the last 6 years or the last 2 years or 10 years or whatever. You did this album in 3 days.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, it's the old school, and I like it because that's the way we do Taj's records. Everything that you hear on them is generally first or second take. And that it's kind of like being in Jamaica. It's the same thing. Everything is first or second take. You get the excitement, you get the adrenaline, and then guys aren't starting to try and reproduce what they played on the last take of the last performance. It's really your emotional reaction to the song.
I get the idea myself because, for example, comparing it to our show here, which there's no comparison. You guys are far more professional than we will ever pretend to be. But the idea, it's like we do our interviews live, and I've done pre-recorded interviews before. And when it comes time to actually put the sound, the program, the interview up there for the public to listen to, there's a different feel to a live interview than there is to a pre-recorded one.
Oh, very definitely. You get more raw emotion.
Yeah.
You know, than you do pre-scripted and edited thought.
Exactly. The spontaneity comes through and you get a feel for it. That's why this is one of the ground rules that I laid down when John and I were putting this together, as I wanted to do the interviews live wherever possible. I mean, I wouldn't turn down a recorded interview if that was the only way we could get it, but I wanted them to be live because it's more real. It's more, the feeling is there. I want the show to feel like we're all sitting around the coffee table having a conversation and enjoying ourselves. It's a real atmosphere.
In
John's
music
favorite
is,
word.
It's just cool because there's always the danger that it could go off the track, you know.
Mm-hmm.
if you're not thinking about it, if you're reacting, and sometimes it's that danger and excitement of maybe it is going to go off the track that makes it exciting. And sometimes,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it does go off the track, but you got to snatch yourself back. That's exciting too.
I think
part of the performance.
I think the bottom line is the proof is in reality. People come to see you play live. Why? I mean, they can buy the records or CDs and play them at home anytime they want, but they still want to see you live. Why? Because of the feeling, or again, John's favorite word, atmosphere.
Atmosphere. That's right.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's very seldom doing original music that you're going to do it the same way twice.
Exactly, right, and that's part of the beauty of it. I mean, no two people are the same. Would you want to meet everybody who is exactly the same as your best friend? I mean,
yeah, you don't wear the same clothes every day. You wear different combinations of, you know, shirts, socks, underwear, whatever. You know, that combination is that feeling of right now, that this time, this instance.
You know, that can also take you back to the, you know, the whole analog versus digital argument where, you know, analog is going to provide you with, you know, an atmosphere or a feeling that the digital won't, a more closer to a live performance, even though it may not be, than a digital recording will do for you.
Yeah, in fact, those cracks on the record sound good to me, those little, you know, the little thing.
Oh, yeah, you know, I can remember years ago, about 15 years ago, I took at the time, my 13-year-old son and pulled him aside, and I got out two copies of a record, one on CD, one on record. It was Gordon Lightfoot and a song called Affair on 8th Avenue, which if you've never heard it, it's just a wonderful song. And I asked him to tell me which one was better, and I had him more or less blindfolded so he couldn't see which was playing. And without hesitation, he says, you know, it's that one, Dad. And he was, you know, referring to the one that I was playing on my AR turntable.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And one of the good things about rap, if there is such a good thing,
a good thing about rap?
is the use of turntables. You can go out now and you can find turntables, a decent quality turntable. Does not break your neck expensive.
Right. Yep. There's truth to that. You know, I joke about rap, and it's not my personal favorite style of music, although anybody that knows me knows that I dig all kinds of music. I've even listened to opera at times. Not too much, but at times. But they all have their place, whether you like it or not. That's why there are so many types of genres of music, is because nobody likes them all. You got to have the ones that you personally like. And my thing with rap is they tend to... Well, two things, really, just two points. They tend to get exploitative at times. There are times when I feel they are doing things simply to sell the product, not to make the product better. And the fact that I feel that they tend to get away from the music part of it. It becomes it becomes more of a monologue, a statement, than an actual piece of music.
Man, yeah, I'm old school enough to think that music means that there's an instrument involved. If you're going to call yourself a musician, then I like to think that you put the time in to learn to express yourself with that instrument, so that the instrument itself has an expression or an extension of your soul, as opposed to just going online and sampling what someone else has done. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Recycling. I mean, there are people that are very creative with it. Dr. Dre is very creative with the music that he creates. The kids Digital Underground out of Oakland are very creative with the music that they put in underneath the raps. But some of it is just regurgitation of something that's often unpleasant.
Yeah, that's true.
Here. I'll keep my language clean.
Well, tell me about the interaction with you guys in the band, because I know you guys you do a lot of session work individually. You perform individually, but yet you come together as a group, and there has to be a core reason why you guys play together.
In Titty Bingo?
Yes.
We all essentially like each other. And it's,
that
you
helps.
Know, music, when you're performing it, it's like a conversation. You get people in a room that speak a common language, and you communicate, you talk.
Mm-hmm.
So each song, hopefully, is a conversation, you know, between people who speak a language that they all understand.
That's an excellent way of putting it. I hadn't thought of it in quite that terms, but you're actually absolutely right. Now, that is a very interesting way to put it. Tell us, for the listeners that aren't familiar with you guys, tell us about the members of the group.
It's Dar Jamail. Dar writes the majority of the tunes. He's really passionate about his songwriting. And he, you know, he has a good, talented core group of friends, you know, who help him get his vision across. Fred Fletcher on the drums. Fred is a maniac. He's one of my favorite human beings on this earth. He's Willie Nelson's nephew. He owns a couple of recording studios in Austin, but he's very expressive and musical with his drumming. You know, he listens very closely to what the melody's doing, to what the lyrics are saying, and he does all that with sticks, with a non-note-making instrument. Derek O'Brien is one of my favorite human beings and one of my favorite guitar players on this earth. He's a great blues player. He's known primarily as a blues player, but that's just a label. Derek can pretty much do anything he wants to with the guitar. And then there's Bobby Nelson, who's Willie Nelson's sister. Bobby is... Bobby's a big, warm, secure blanket on everything. When Bobby's in the room, there's a vibe and an energy that comes from Bobby that just makes your innards smile just because she's there. And then there's this guy from Houston on bass who just tries to hang in.
Well, I've heard rumors that he hangs in pretty well. let's see, we've got a Grammy Award somewhere on the mantle there, and a W.C. Handy Award for your work with Taj Mahal, or excuse me, for his work with Taj Mahal, not to mention the Phantom Blues Band. Tell us a little about the Phantom Blues Band, because I know people are familiar with Taj Mahal, and we're now becoming more familiar with you. Tell us about the Phantom Blues Band.
The Phantoms are primarily a group of Texans who moved to L.A., and we all kind of made names for ourselves as studio musicians. You know, Johnny Shell was Bonnie Raitt's right-hand person for about 20 years through that Nick of Time, Luck of the Draw record, so he, you know, they were friends forever. Tony Bronigal, the drummer, was also with Bonnie for a long time, but also with Bette Midler and... Oh, geez, too many people to think of. He's now producing and touring with Eric Burden. He played with Robert Cray for a long time. Horns, Daryl Leonard and Joe Sublette. They got Rolling Stones records, Delaney and Bonnie records, Elton John records. Everyone has, you know, lengthy, lengthy discographies. And Mike Finnegan on keyboards, on Hammond B3, and Mike, Mike was on it, played with Jimi Hendrix on Electric Ladyland, Dave Mason for a long time, Crosby, Stills, and Nash for a long time, and he's been Bonnie's keyboard player for the last 3 or 4 years since, you know, we toured with her in 2009 for, you know, most of the year, and Mike became her keyboard player. So it's a bunch of primarily session guys, but we've done so many sessions together that we enjoy making records on our own.
Right. That's understandable. So, yeah. You've picked a little bit on the keyboards yourself too, haven't you?
Yeah, I played keyboards for a lot of reggae groups. For most of the 80s, I was a keyboard player.
Right. You were with Smokey for a while, Smokey Robinson. And
I played bass with Smokey, yeah, in the 80s.
Oh, okay. And with the Crusaders, were you doing keyboards with them?
No, man, the Crusaders have my big brother and best friend Joe Sample on the keyboards.
Ah.
I can't mention myself in the same in the same paragraph
well,
with Joe. Though
you,
when I
did
do
you
play
ever
keyboards,
play with Joe
I,
Sample?
I beg your pardon?
Did you ever play with Joe Sample?
Yeah, Joe is actually on the latest Phantom Blues Band record. And he lives here in Houston. He's a good mentor. He has been for years. Back during the late 70s, early 80s, I was the Crusaders' sub-bass player whenever they were between players because I always had my own thing going.
You know, I remember seeing him several times out in California at the Mammoth Lakes Music Festival. This is probably going back 30 years or so.
Yes, I played with him up there at the Mammoth Festival. So it's possible that we crossed
We may have crossed paths because I was working for a radio station in Bishop, California at the time, and we were very heavily into promoting the Mammoth Music Festival year after year.
Whoa!
And he never invited me up there for it.
That's jogging the memory banks, driving through Bishop to get to Mammoth. Yes, indeed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, God's country out there.
Oh, beautiful country up there.
It is
to our
amazing
listeners in California and anywhere else for that matter, if you haven't been up through, Lancaster and then up to Lone Pine, Big Pine, Bishop, and up that way, you have missed a part of heaven.
Yeah, it's amazing up there. And Joe lived up there for a long time.
Yeah, he did. He had a home up there, I remember.
Yes, he did.
So we're going to go. Go ahead.
Oh, no, he's been a mentor and a confidant since about 78, you know, and he'd get me work, he'd produce my bands, and we've just been friends. He's still one of my dearest friends. I love him.
That makes all the difference in the world. That's the only way John and I have been able to stand each other for 40 years. But we met when I joined a country station in Tampa, Florida, about 40 years ago, and we've been giving each other a hard time ever since.
Ever since. He likes the Yankees. I like the Red Sox. You know, it's a no-win situation.
Absolutely.
Well, it's like Larry Perigis was saying, you know, someone that has known you for a long time, that trusts you and loves you for who you are, not what you're doing. You know, you can't beat that.
Yep. Larry, I got a question for you. Are there any plans for Titty Bingo to leave the Great Republic of Texas and go on tour?
I doubt it.
Okay. Well, that means we're going to have to pack up and boogie off to Texas.
You know, we do Willie Nelson's picnics and we do Farm Aid, you know, at times. But I don't see a bingo tour in the offing anytime in the near future. I mean, I never say never because you never know, but I don't think so. Not that.
Well,
I've
then I guess
it.
We're just going to have to, you know, we're going to have to pack up them and come
trip
out to Texas road trip and you guys are going to buy us some fine barbecue.
Oh yeah, come on down. Come on down.
Larry, we're going to close off today with a thing called Little Angel from the Live at Perdonale's album. You want to tell us a little about this song, cuz I know you sing on this one too.
I sing some harmonies on it. It's a fun tune. It's a burst of energy. It starts off blazing and just blazes all the way through. One of the cool things about Rob Fraboni's, you know, production of Titty Bingo is there's really no overdubs. You know, it's like, it's kind of like the old Sheffield direct-to-disc type thing. You know, you start playing, and the performance that's there is the performance that came out that day at that moment.
What you hear is what you get.
What you hear is what you get.
Amen to that. Larry, it's a joy as always having you with us, or any of the guys from Titty Bingo, and also Rob Fraboni, who's been with us in the past, and a wonderful person to talk to, too. Thanks for sharing all your stories and your music with us. Give our best to all the gang. We love you all, and, of course, thank you for providing our theme music, too. And one of these days, we're going to, when we have a little extra time on the show, we're going to play the theme all the way through so our listeners get a piece of that. But we're going to close off now with Little Angel by Titty Bingo from the album Live at Perdonella's. And thank you once again, Larry, for being with us today.
David, thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I'd like to come on sometime and play some of Anika Chambers' record for you. Maybe the first of the year once it's done. But in the meantime, listen to that Titty Bingo. And y'all that are listening, whatever your listening device you're on, turn it up.
You crank it up. And, yeah, you do that. We'd love to have you back, and we'd love to have Anika on the show as well. So keep us in mind there.
All right, bless you guys. Thanks a lot.
All right,
cool.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you, Larry. Here they are, Titty Bingo, Little Angel. Titty Bingo. Well, we played Titty Bingo today.
And, well, you know, David, I got to tell you, since we don't have to really worry about the FCC too much with this show, I got to say, just flat out, that song kicked ass. That was great.
they do some kick-ass stuff. There's no question about that. And I always love to be able to have them on the show. They're a great bunch of guys. And Rob Fraboni, their producer, for the listeners who are not familiar with it, Rob is a Grammy-winning producer, a multi-Grammy-winning producer who has worked with a veritable who's who, a rock and roll hall of fame. If you're into that kind of stuff, look up the name Rob Fraboni, F-R-A-B-O-N-I, and just look at this man's credits. You couldn't ask for a better producer. The guy is really top shelf, and we are so pleased to be able to have him and Titty Bingo part of our shows. Also want to thank Robbie Boyd and our friend Sean C. Bryant for all of you guys coming on, and as well as the Rev Angel from Milan, Italy, and Larry Perigas of Nine North Records. All of you guys helped make this one heck of a show. Really had a good time. I hope our listeners had as much fun listening as we did bringing it to you. It's really been a blast, and we've got some exciting announcements coming up for next month. That's one of the challenges I love about this show, making everyone better than the last show. And I think we got a step in the right direction, because we have got one talent on the next show that I know everybody who has listened to music in the last 40 years knows the name. The man is an icon of the rock and roll business, and we're going to have a lot of fun because he has a great story to tell. So, John, take us home.
You got it. Well, great show today, David. Just want to let you know that the David Bowers Awards is produced by the David Bowers for Stick It In Your Ear Productions, and we come to you live from the studios of Computer Help USA in fabulous Naples, Florida. We are available for free download on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. We want you to be sure to click the follow link on our Blog Talk Radio page and get reminders of our upcoming shows. And be sure to like the David Bowers on Facebook, and also you can follow us on Twitter. Be sure to join us for the David Bowers Awards Sunday, October 13th at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, when our guests will be an exciting new artist from Tier 1 Talent in upstate New York, and we're going to have the lovely performer of the VH1 Hollywood X's theme, and that's Erica Kane. And now this is one that you're not going to want to miss. We have got legendary rock and roller, the one, the only, the non-duplicated, the most amazing Tommy James. That's right. Tommy James of Tommy James and the Shondells. Until then, for the David Bowers and all the inmates here at the asylum, this is John Bon Jovial saying that we want to see you here next month. We want you to be safe and sound in between and every other time after that. And for the David Bowers Awards, we will see you next time. Goodbye.